This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Wisconsin, and right now we are at a really cool coffee place. And you are?
Carol Ash.
Carol Ash. And you're with your husband, Chris. We're in a coffee house, but it was your church, and it was a part of your life and your family going back to being a little kid.
Yes, it was.
Tell us about how that evolved.
So this was my mother's church, and it was Trinity Lutheran Church when I was growing up, and there's a lot of really great memories here. You know, the church ladies of my childhood were amazing people who gave a lot to the children in the community. This was the social hub of our community. Ice cream socials, Christmas bazaars, things like that. So this part closed in 1994. It was an Asian art gallery.
So it closed because the church membership grew and you combined with a larger place?
They combined the Sister Bay and Ellison Bay churches combined to make a larger church up at the top of the hill. So this became an Asian art gallery. And we knew when we moved back here and our business started that we wanted to stay in Ellison Bay because it was the place I grew up. We contacted the owners here and asked if they were considering selling. We knew that their life was moving more and more to China, and we thought this would be a pretty neat place to be. And I don't think we knew kind of how magical it would end up. You know, it started as something like a great idea, but it's been a really, really great experience. And we brought it back to being a community center.
And what's so fascinating to me, I have an undying love and appreciation of architecture, of
yes.
Interesting, unique architecture.
Yes.
And you guys own that.
Yes. And people come in every single day and they're like, wow, this is an amazing piece. And the arches in particular, and there's still stained glass in here too, but we had someone come in yesterday really intrigued with the architecture because you just don't see this type of thing.
Unique is a misused word.
Yes.
But this is truly unique.
Yes.
In all my travels around the Midwest, anywhere, East Coast, West Coast, there isn't another one of these.
Thank you for appreciating that.
Oh, yeah. Yet there's drama. There's an understated element. So there's a paradox to the visual statement. Fascinating.
Yeah. And people come in and they really feel a sense of peace when they come in. It's,
mm-hmm.
It's been pretty interesting that I'm sure the stories of this church just live here and people feel it. I don't know how to explain it, but it is really magical.
I can explain it. You guys serve great coffee, but I would tell somebody, if you don't like coffee, still come in and take a look, because that's how cool it
is. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank the architect.
Yeah. And we don't know who that was, actually. Someone came, when the person came in yesterday, we were looking to see if in any of our documents, and we don't know.
Hmm.
I'm sure somebody in this town knows.
Yeah, that'd be a cool research.
Yes.
I was with a guy in San Francisco, the largest importer of antiques from Europe, and he said, when somebody buys my credenza or whatever, they're buying, in one level, just a hunk of old dry-rotted wood. But what they're paying for is the story.
Yes.
The provenance.
And what's interesting that you say that is that that is a phrase we use all the time. When all the things were happening with COVID and everything,
right.
We would say to people, we honor your story. And there's a flag back there that says, live a great story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always been kind of the underlying thing that we don't know who's coming through our door, but we honor their story.
There you go. But we need to honor the guy who designed this.
Yes.
And so your homework assignment
okay. Is
maybe a high school kid, you know, a research project. Do a genealogy. I think it'd be cool.
I'm sure that we can find that. We have a great historical society here. So the man who came in here yesterday said there was only one builder that made these type of arches. So
mm-hmm.
I wish I would have written it down.
Yeah. But work backwards.
Yes.
Okay, let's go back to the here and now, in that you alluded to this being a community center gathering spot of sorts.
Yes.
So talk a little bit more about that.
Well, you know, once this church left, there really isn't a central area in our town. And when we first started the business, we wanted to be a cornerstone business, a place where people could gather. So not only do we have our coffee shop, we have our co-working space, so people can work with the internet because we do not have good internet here.
And how has that changed in the midst of COVID?
It's extremely busy. And the nice thing that we like is that we get to see families get to vacation here. Because they're able to, you know, one or both of the parents can work here during the day and be with their family at night. So it's been really busy.
So you have a super high speed.
Yes, we have a separate area and it's a separate router.
So fast.
It's fast. Yeah. It's everybody's happy, cool. Especially my gamer kids.
Right. The kids come here to game. But that was not something we anticipated. We knew that the internet was bad and that this would be a service to the community, but we did not anticipate how much it would be a service to the community, not only for people coming into town, but locals as well, and businesses in general have gone to more working from home and not going into the office. So we had a man here from Washington, D.C. that was able to be with his family here for a full month because he could come here. He rented our private office space downstairs. But that's an awesome thing to be able to provide for the community. And we have a large enough space to be able to do it. So we wanted to maximize what we could do in this space.
Let's talk about your coffee itself and your philosophy and sourcing.
Okay. I'm going to let my husband take over because he's the coffee roaster.
Coffee. I love it. I think that's what got us started here, really, with the coffee, is that I drink a lot of coffee.
Do you ever take trips to where the coffee comes from and meet the growers?
We haven't done a trip just for that purpose. Mm-hmm. In fact, only one time, or maybe once or twice, we went to two different areas where we went and took like a coffee tour, just kind of look and see, and in Costa Rica was one. And, but I haven't done that exclusively just for that purpose. We source all of our coffee through a really conscientious importer. They're actually based in Minneapolis, their U.S. office, and I've been really happy with them. They take great pain to give a really good bio on each coffee, each farm. So there's a lot of coffees that we have that are certified, fair trade, all that kind of thing. But the ones that aren't, the importer actually goes to these farms, and there's a lot of pictures and a lot of information. They go back year after year to make sure that the money that they're spending on buying coffee is actually staying on the farm and making it better. So I've been real happy with them.
So what's your most popular coffee? What do people ask for the most?
Well, I'm going to just tell a little story about how we started with our first coffee, because we lived up in Fairbanks, Alaska, and there was the Alaska Roasting Company, and that was back before people were really doing a lot of roasting. That was in the late 1990s, and we went to the Alaska Roasting Company, and he was showing us all. So this is just giving us the history of how we fell in love with coffee, and he gave us some Ethiopian Yirgacheffe, and that changed our whole view of how coffee tastes. So the very first one that we knew we were going to do here was the Ethiopian Yirgacheffe. Now, that's my favorite, but I would say the Guatemala that we have, the Huehuetenango, and the Mexican Chapas. That's how you say that, because that's a dark roast. But we have found that people are increasingly looking for a light roast, which is not my personal favorite, but I think it's become more and more popular. They're roasting to really get the flavor of the bean. That's a little bit like wine and grapes. Like how you roast it is a different feel. So I think that's becoming increasingly popular. We have two right now, Costa Rica and Congo.
Interesting. I'm so naive that it was not that long ago when somebody dialed me in that a light roast has more caffeine than a dark roast.
True.
I thought if the darker, the blacker you got it, the more caffeine you'd get. Weird.
Right. Yeah. And that's something that we tell a lot of people when they come in. They're shocked that that's the case.
Something's paradoxical about that.
Right.
For sure.
Do I hear like kids behind me or something?
It's my workers that are having a lot of fun. It's my daughter and
funny. Oh, I love it. What are you most passionate about? What are you most proud of? What is the coolest dynamic of your life and here? Yeah.
Of living in Allison Bay or our business?
Everything, starting right here and growing up.
My family was a very large family. My father was a dairy farmer, and he built a lot of the docks here, so he was on the water a lot. There's 8 children in my family. And we left, and when Chris got his airline job, it was really nice to bring our kids back here and raise them in a place that's safe. There's a lot of outdoors, and to me, that is living a great story. We love the outdoors. We're passionate about being outdoors. And we live, you know, a couple miles from Newport State Park. And for me, too, like, being in this church, seeing people come back that went to this church, going across the street, seeing Carol Newman, that I grew up sitting on the little turning bench at the Pioneer Store. There's a park in town named after my father, Fitzgerald Park. And, I mean, those are things that are just neat. It just feels right. It feels good to be here. Mm-hmm. Not to say that there isn't some drawbacks. I mean, we're far from everything. It's a small town. The nice thing about up here is it's small town, but there's a lot of arts. Mm-hmm. So we get a little bit of the best of both worlds.
How about winter time? Are the kids into outdoor sports and activities?
Yes. I mean, they're in school, so they were all, a lot of them were basketball players. I lead a snowshoeing group for women. He loves to ski. You know, downhill ski we have to travel for, but winter's just different, and it's beautiful, and it's quiet, and it's nice little recouping time for.
And you stay open here?
We are staying open. We stayed open long weekends last year, and it worked really well. I think there was a call for us to be open a lot more because there's not a lot open in the winter. And again, it's a gathering space. It's a big enough space where people can get together.
And I think that's part of that momentum, the dynamic of creating a community that's remote that now has everything that somebody needs.
So, I think one of my favorite things is sitting here during the day, and whoever's working is calling so many people by name as they come up those steps. Mm-hmm. I mean, that to me is, we sometimes are the only faces that some people see, you know, during the week or the day.
Right, and when they come out.
Right, yeah. And to call them by name as they come up the stairs and make them feel like, you know, part of our mission was that they would feel like they're at home. Mm-hmm. Like they would come in and feel comfortable being in this space and knowing that they have a place to be.
Right.
That was important to us. And our retail manager, Tracy, is amazing. And she has worked in the service industry up here for a very long time. So she knows a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Really great asset. Yeah, she and I grew up together and graduated high school together. So we were Gibraltar grads. And I knew that she was the person that we wanted to be in the front. And then all of our kids work here. So it's a
true family affair.
Yes,
I love
it is.
Yeah.
And my sister, two of my sisters have worked here. One is working here now. It's just really nice. Mm-hmm. It's, I don't know. Did you want to, what is good about this experience for you?
I mean, the big picture for me, like this living in this community, for me, I like it. I like small towns. I like the accountability that comes with it, honestly. I like the fact that you know, some people have said that they don't like small town living because everybody knows your business, and that's honestly why I do like it.
Right.
You know, conduct yourself in a way that you're not embarrassed. So,
I lived on San Juan Island in the Puget Sound, and it's just like Door County, but you had to take a ferry boat to get in and out.
My father back in the day was a minister, and he had a church in Friday Harbor.
That's where I live.
And he had one in Mount Vernon, and so.
Probably knew.
Certainly, right, yeah.
So one day I was at a party in Friday Harbor, and this woman, Firestone family, and we were talking about small town life, and I talked about the downside of a small town, that everybody knows your business and the gossip. And she turned to me, she said, "Honey, at least they care about you enough to talk about it."
That's a great point. Exactly. So I love it. This has been great for me.
Awesome.
I'm imported, but I'm staying.
We're out of time. I have to go to Milwaukee. And head out. So if somebody wanted to learn more about your world, where would you direct them?
Our website is kickashproducts.com. That would be the best way to get a hold of us. And we would love to see anybody or order online. My name is Carol Ash.
Chris Ash.
Thank you so much. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Door County, Wisconsin. We'll see you here.
Thanks, Tom.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Door County, Wisconsin. Come along and join me with my friend John Jarsh, who's involved in Door County tourism and has been for quite a while. And his world has turned sideways and upside down in recent days. How's it going, John?
Hey, Tom. We're hanging in there.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
Oh, I'm impressed. The overarching impression that I have received in the last couple of days is the extent that locals go to maintaining proper social distancing, wearing masks, and doing that whole protocol. It's really impressive.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad that you've noticed. It's certainly been a key point of us in terms of what we're doing, continuing to promote a destination in this age. And that's been one of the things that we really focused on since the get-go, was trying to make sure that we had safety protocols in place, mm-hmm. Not only for the safety and benefit of our visitors, but also, frankly, for the 29,000 people that live on the peninsula and for our tourism workforce, because those are obviously both integral parts. You know, it's been an interesting discussion in the last couple of months with a lot of our residents that were concerned with us saying, you know, trying to welcome visitors back to Door mm-hmm. County this summer. And it, again, came back to that whole concept of really promoting safety and encouraging precautions to be taken by everybody, visitors, workers, residents, mm-hmm. to help ensure, you know, safety as much as we possibly could.
And the other factor that I find really impressive is because a lot of the local venues are blessed to have really cool outdoor venues. Like, we're sitting on a lawn right now out in the yard. Mm-hmm. Fuzzy's, he is kicking butt, frankly, with his business because he's blessed to have that outdoor.
Yeah, you know, interesting times call for interesting measures, right? And the entrepreneurial spirit in Door County this year is stronger than ever. Mm-hmm. You have to be an entrepreneur to survive up here because it's a seasonal place for the most part. But this year, more than ever, it's been fascinating to watch business owners get creative.
Yes.
Because they've had to. And so the outdoor spaces that we've seen crop up or be enhanced has just been wonderful.
Some of the owners have told me their numbers this year are beating last year's numbers.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's been great to see how they've adapted. You know, the resiliency that we have here is pretty impressive. And I think, and I'm excited about, you know, after this year and after this pandemic is in the rearview mirror, a lot of the things that they've done this year are going to stick around because they're fantastic. The outdoor spaces that they've created are just wonderful. And I think that's a great positive out of this whole thing.
It really is. And even casting the net wider, our whole culture and society is shifting because of this. An example, looking into the future, is my gut instinct is a place like Washington Island could finally have its day in the sunshine as a Renaissance location because of people from cities and whatnot, knowing now they don't have to stay there.
Yeah.
They can have both. They can be on a dreamy island somewhere and still be plugged into the world.
Yeah, and I think the outdoor spaces, which, you know, we've always had, and that's been, it's been interesting to look at our outdoor experiences with a different pair of glasses on this year for most people, and they realize that a lot of what we have here does allow for natural social distancing. We're blessed to have a lot of elbow room for the most part and so many great outdoor opportunities, and so and that's just really been enhanced and heightened awareness of all those things this year. And again, we've seen a trend in the last 5 years to enhanced and expanded outdoor spaces. I mean, it was on a shot of steroids this year, mm-hmm. In terms of what they've done. But again, I'm excited, and I think they'll stick around long after this year has passed.
Yeah. The broader picture, from what I understand, I talked to an emergency room nurse yesterday, and she said the numbers that you guys have in the county as far as people presenting with COVID symptoms and whatnot is pretty negligible, you know, in the scheme of things. This is not a viral hotspot at all.
Yeah, it's seemingly not, and we like it that way, but that just makes us double down on the safety precautions to make sure that we can continue that.
Yeah.
We've actually started a public information campaign in conjunction with county government, public health department, the local hospital, to really just double down on those efforts of making sure people wear a mask, people social distance, you know, people wash their hands regularly, and just be respectful and responsible while they're out traveling around Door County. And so we think that's important, and that will allow us and help ensure that we can continue to welcome visitors and live our lives here in a more free way than what we were doing in March and April.
So you're a dad.
I am.
Yeah.
It's a proud one to boot.
Mr. Mom. So that being said, you're raising a family here, and we're approaching school start time. What's the scuttlebutt? What's happening here? What's the plan?
Yeah, so just like I think we've seen across the country, school districts are scrambling, doing their very best to put plans together that are responsible, that take into so many different factors into account that they need to, and also setting the table for us to know that we as parents need to be flexible, mm-hmm. because plans could change.
And you don't really know at this
point. They've laid out our particular school district, which we have five different districts in Door County.
Oh, wow.
But our district has laid out a plan. They came out with it last week that they shared with us. This was after they did a parent survey. And so we have an idea of what's going to happen, at least at this point. But again, you know, they made sure to manage our expectations to uh-huh. know that it could change.
At this moment in time, what's the best model?
Yeah, the model that they're going to start off the school year with or at this point is a hybrid model. So they're going to divide the school into two groups, and they're going to shift groups each day. So we'll have half the number of students in the school at any one time.
So alternate days the kids would homeschool?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, online.
And that cuts body count down in one public space.
Yeah, so they're going to try that. Over the course of a two-week period, students would be in school five of those 10 days mm-hmm. in person, and then five would be at home days. So that's kind of their plan at this point, and uh-huh. we'll see how it goes. Cool. Mask will be required at our district, too, which as a parent, I'm happy about.
So because of all this, have you had to bone up with your basic math skills and science?
Well, I was doing that already last year. I help with the homework. Not that my wife doesn't, but I do. And certainly this new math that you hear about, it's a little different. So it helps stretch our brain cells a little bit as parents.
Yeah. So you're still a student.
Yeah, always a student, Tom. Yeah. Always a student.
I love it. Any other thoughts about the here and now in Door County and what's happening in... And again, like we talked about before we started going, you're in a tough position because you're charged with your job as promoting tourism. And yet you don't want to do too good a job right now.
Yeah, there's certainly a fine line as a destination marketer and manager at this point. And frankly, we've seen a lot more of the management side up here this year. My involvement with our local task force at the county level with that public information campaign has been a lot more involved, and that's certainly more of a management function mm-hmm. than a marketing function. But you're right, it's a fine line, and where do you draw that line? I think every destination is different based on their own unique circumstances, what they have to offer in terms of tourism product, how socially distant they can be, and also how cooperative their tourism industry and community is going to be with certain things like mask requirements, social distancing. You know, are restaurants willing to cut their tables in half to be able to provide a safer space for customers? So all those things come into play when you're looking at how can you responsibly market a tourism destination right mm-hmm. now. I mean, you take all those things into account, that's kind of what helps make you helps you make decisions. Another thing that we did earlier this spring was a travel sentiment survey that we sent out to our list of, you know, of our database of visitors. And from that, we got back over 10,000 responses. And we asked questions like, you know, were they willing to travel? Those sorts of questions. But also some questions about masking in particular, because we were curious as what our visitors would think. And this was mid-May, and so, you know, a week later things could have changed. But at that point in time, 87% of our visitors, the respondents of that survey, said they would be willing to wear a mask while they were here to protect others and themselves and all that sort of thing. So that really helped us to make a more informed decision to make sure that we included masking in our messaging and in our encouragements. In terms of what we're asking of visitors while they're here. It's a two-way street. Visitors expect certain things from a destination when they travel this mm-hmm. year, and at the same time, we're expecting certain things from our visitors while they're traveling here. And so that survey that we did was also helpful to help us get some information.
Well, again, like I said, as an outsider looking in, cruising around the county in the last couple days, everywhere we've gone, on both sides of the coin, the visitor and the locals, equal you know they're trying their hardest to be as safety, health conscious as they can.
Yeah, and that's been important. And I give our, you know, it's so hard. Our public health department was put in a really tough situation based on a Wisconsin Supreme Court decision earlier this spring that really took away any confidence that health departments had to put in place mandates, enforceable mandates.
Right.
And so they've had to walk that fine line to avoid litigation, but at the same time trying to put in place these recommendations to get people to take precautions like wear a mask and wash your hands and social distance. So they've been put in a tough spot, but I think they've done a commendable job under the circumstances to make sure to keep the public health in, you know, in check.
Yeah. Well, looking in from the outside, like they're just doing it in spite of mandate or governmental regulations.
Yeah,
they're doing it because they know they need to do it.
Well, and from a business standpoint, it's certainly taking those precautions helps with business continuity and not having to have every place shut down for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. You know, in our peak season, right, we're in July and August. You know, that could really be detrimental, and that was one of our biggest concerns is we wanted to do the best we could to ensure that as many businesses as possible could open in 2021.
Right.
That was really our goal, and having enough business right now to get them through the winter was really paramount, and that helped also inform some of the decisions that we made this year with things that we've done.
Very, very cool. All right, John Jarge, thank you so much for sharing. This is another wonderful day in paradise with you.
Yeah, it's always nice to have you here, Tom, and great to be with you in spite of everything happening. And just, you know, be kind out there, everybody. Just be respectful of everybody's wishes. And I'm happy to be here in Door County.
I bet you are. Website if somebody wanted to learn more.
Somebody's interested in more information, including all of our tourism offerings as well as what we're doing to keep people safe this year, doorcounty.com is the place to go.
Instagram, Facebook?
Yeah, Instagram, Facebook, we're on all those places. Just do a search for Destination Door County. No doubt you will find us.
Very, very cool.
So, good to see you, Tom.
You too. We've been visiting with John Jarge in Door County, Wisconsin. We'll see you here. I'm Tom Wilmer.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
Seventy-five years ago, World War II ended. It was the deadliest military conflict in history, resulting in 85 million casualties. We mark the anniversary of the end of that war by celebrating the heroism of our greatest generation, those who served and those who supported their efforts at home. On September 2nd, we will commemorate the signing of the Articles of Surrender aboard the battleship Missouri Memorial at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. A celebration of the peace that followed. Salute their service, honor their hope. Join us virtually for the events on September 2nd, 2020. For further information, go to 75thww2commemoration.org.
This, ladies and gentlemen, is the end of the Second World War.